It's that lovely Psalm 91. And I suppose that to many of us it's quite a familiar psalm. I know that it was one of the psalms which rather date me, which I learned when I went to school in company with some other psalms. But this was one of them. And it's a psalm of a man who has learned a tremendous secret. Now, I suppose that you have learned many secrets. I hope you have, as you've been going on with the Lord. And this is the whole real truth about salvation. It's quite a secret thing. It's an open secret, mark you. But it's quite a secret thing. You ask the person you work with tomorrow morning and see. They won't know anything about it. They'll know about religion or might know something about theology or something like that. But they won't know anything about the real secret thing of God. And as you go on with the Lord, you are destined, and I hope I can whet your appetite this morning and set you all agog and keen to go on, to learn the secrets of God. Now, he will reveal his secrets to him. Well, you know this in nature. There are secrets. Secrets, for instance, on a butterfly's wing. You see the dazzling colours, but if you get it and examine it under a microscope, for instance, look at the secrets. Each of those little things is a feather, and his wings are just smothered in feathers that you wouldn't have thought. You can see feathers if they're on an ostrich's back or on a chicken's back, but you didn't see the secret feathers of a butterfly, for instance. You didn't see them. Everything that God does has secrets within it. Mysteries. We can all stumble like children all over the surface of the earth and know everything that everybody else knows. But we grow up and we learn a bit and we get a microscope or a telescope or we get some other scope, and I don't know what we don't do. And we start to discover secrets. Hallelujah. Now, they're not exclusive secrets. I mean, it isn't just that only one person is allowed to discover this. But God's secrets are open secrets for those who want to know them. And if you don't discover God's secrets, it's just plainly because you don't want to. That's all there is in it. If you will apply yourself to it, and perhaps if I may speak from several years of having done that, you will find that God more and more and more opens up things. And I'm aghast as I go on with the Lord now, the greater and greater secrets that are opening up within the secrets that I thought I knew. There are secrets within secrets. This is right, isn't it? You just think. And so here's a psalm by a man who has discovered secrets of God. Hallelujah. And if you will go on in these secrets, I'll tell you something. Look at the last verse of the psalm. You'll have a long time to go on earth and discover, if you'll go on in the secret. But you see, it starts with the secret place. Now, there's a place of secrecy. Now, I understand this. And if you're going to know the secrets, you've got to get in this place. All right? When you're in this place, you will discover this secret that's revealed in the psalm. And you'll say, well, you won't then say, well, now I've discovered it, and that's that. That's all I'm bothered about. Oh, no. You will then find that we can go on into greater things still. Please do take this deeply into your heart, because this is exactly what God wants us to do. You'll excuse me, I'm getting warm in front of this fire. And I got ticked off last Sunday morning by the people who can tick off husbands. for having the fire turned off. So I must stick it. All right. And in this wonderful psalm, number 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now then, the secret here that's being revealed is of God's almightiness. Hallelujah. Blessed. To know his almightiness. And this almightiness of God is spread over the whole spectrum of life. It is comprehensive. We'll read through the psalm first. You pick up the points as we go through. I will come back and comment perhaps at length, largely, or minutely upon some of the things here. We'll read it through. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You would have thought it couldn't be much closer than at your right hand, but it's a million, 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 million years away from you. It's as close as that. I said I wouldn't cross it. We'd read through first. Let's read on, shall we? But here is the engaging power of God's word. When your heart is inditing a good matter, it delights in it, and everything speaketh. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Doesn't mean to say that they're all wicked, for instance, in verse 7, that are falling. Just remember that. There are some who haven't mastered God's secrets who fall, though they're the children of God. Big thing for you to bear in mind. I promise I wouldn't comment on that, but let's go. That's how it gets into your blood. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, either, I would put in there, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Oh, the privilege, then, beloved. The privilege. Isn't there? It's one man talking to another saying, well, you see, no plague comes nigh my dwelling. Now, if you follow the rules, it won't come near yours either. This is the whole thing. Once you know the secret, it's to take away jealousy, envy. It's to take away looking at someone else and wish you had what they had. Why? You can have it all, beloved. Isn't all the sun for you this morning? Isn't all the rain for you this morning if it rains? Isn't all the heavens for you this morning? Is God selfish? Is he particular? Hallelujah. He's specific. And he does single out some, but that is because they keep the rules. They appear to be singled out. That's all. Let's go on. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And the writer is saying, because he's done it for me, you see, and he'll do it for you too. This is speaking from the place of knowledge. This is speaking from the place of assurance. And now you see the subtlety of the devil, beloved, because this is what he tried to tempt Jesus with. He was really saying to Jesus, you're not, of course, there yet, you see, because the one who says this is the one that's there. It's happening to me. Now he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and the devil was subtly, you see the subtlety of the temptations of the devil. You don't discover them at first. Until you go to and fro in the scriptures and know the glory of the truth. He was suggesting to the Jesus he wasn't there, and you know you're not there at all. But, of course, if you just do what I said, all right, you see. The false counselor, the one who takes the position of being there when he's not, the liar, the humbug, the devil. Amen. It isn't just that he purposely left some words out. This is the thing that's mostly said when talking about the temptation. It isn't that. It's the position he assumes. It's this pride. It's this Lucifer. It's this devil. It's much more subtle than leaving a word or two out of when you're quoting the Bible. Though that's bad enough. Here then is the tremendousness. Listen, he'll give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, and the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Here comes now just not the voice of a psalmist, but it's the voice of a prophet. It's God coming right through now. He's speaking to this man that's dwelling in the secret place, and he's revealing his secret. He's saying, all right, because he set his love upon me. All right. Write it down. This is the glory of the Bible. This is where you've got to know this marvelous thing, beloved. Because he set his love upon me, and this is the art of communion. You start to speak for the Lord, I can vouch for this, and he pours in such things for you to keep saying. You're in communion. It's the place you've got to be in. Open your mouth wide and talk for Jesus. Open your mouth wide and tell the truth. And you see, when you're talking about one secret, other secrets are made all clear to you. Things become startlingly new, absolutely apparent. God moves. He opens his mouth. He speaks to you. Fancy this. And God just says to this man, he says, well, because he set his love upon me, I'll deliver him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And it wonderful to stop saying, God's just given me a word for you. It is. Oh, I thought that came with the anointing. I thought that came. Well, I know there's all these lovely charismatic terms you can use. But let's get down into the psalm, shall we? Here's the wonder of it. He says, I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The promise of long life. Hallelujah. Secrets. Secrets of the Lord. You see, if you turn back into the previous psalm, you'll find it says in verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years. But when you get to Psalm 91, there's no limit. You see, here, beloved, is the glory of it all. This is a man, he's the basic thing, let's basically look around, those 70 years. But can you enter into the secret of the Lord? You can now. This is the thing. This is the continuing revelation. And this, once you get to know your Bible, saves you from Bible bondage. People get Bible bound. They would stand up and hammer that 10th verse of Psalm 90 and never look at Psalm 91 to see that there is a difference between what everybody can experience and has a right to normally and what those who know the secrets of the Lord can enter into. So that you don't preach one against the other. And you don't try and hammer one pet theory against another. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. What a marvelous thing this is, beloved, to know what God is saying. Let's go back then, because I want to browse a little with you in this psalm. It isn't often I browse with you in psalms, is it? What a blessed thing this is. Psalm 1, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Now, see, it's the Most High. Now, where have you got your sights for a start? It's the Most High. The Most High. So that there's nothing could be higher. You've got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, you've got to know your risen, glorious, ascended, exalted Lord. This is where it all comes from. And you and I, beloved, have got to dwell there in the secret place of the glorious, risen, exalted, wonderful Lord, far above all. Now, that's got to be your approach. If you want this, you can dwell in lower places, even though you're a Christian. Lots of people do. This is the trouble. They're content to opt for lower things. Just so as they can get a little bit of peace, for instance, in their mind. Now, we all need peace. But peace, beloved, it's so marvellous to us when peace comes. We think, oh, my, is there anything more? Well, of course. That's sort of God's beginnings. If you only want to live in peace, marvellous state. You see, you're never going to know why God gave you peace anyway, and what it's all about. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, beloved. Hallelujah. Oh, you see, this is where all your thoughts have gone. This is where all your aspirations are. And this is why you were saved. And if God is going to show you his salvation, you've got to really live here. What it's all about. Oh, I'll show him my salvation, he says. He said, he'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The shadow of the Almighty. Glory. Do you believe that God's almightiness covers every aspect of your life? Do you believe it covers your physical life? Do you believe it covers your inward life, your emotional life, for instance? Do you believe it covers your spiritual life? Do you believe that? Now, there's to be no condemnation in any heart. That's what I was trying to say. You can't take up one section and preach it against another so as to bring everybody into condemnation if they're not in that particular thing you're preaching. You notice the psalmist didn't do that. He didn't say what he had to say in such a way to make everybody feel they were ground down into the dust and couldn't lift up their head because, oh, well, I'm not there. He comes out with these whispers of love. And he knows that he's talking right, because whilst he's talking to others, Lord says to him, he says, he set his love upon me. He set his love upon me. It's all right. I get on him. I'm going to do all sorts of things for that person. What a blessed thing it is for you to start with this, beloved. That if you set your love upon the Lord, everything will be all right. If you set your love upon him, then love is the most high thing in your being. There's nothing higher in you than love. Nothing. And so you're on the right place. You're going to love the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. If you look with me in verse 4, for instance, he'll cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. Now, you can apply this in any way you like. For instance, I was talking about feathers on a butterfly's wing. It doesn't mean that. You don't want to be covered by a butterfly, do you? Lots of people do that. In fact, in my younger days, they used to speak of certain women as butterflies. All sorts of, yeah, that's right, that's the way it was used. And they used a sort of another slang term like flappers and all that, but they've all gone out of use. By the time you're my age, you'll look back reminiscently upon silly things that you used to think when you were 20 and 30. Yes, you were. You say, wasn't it all ridiculous? And I thought I was with it or something, you know. The tremendousness is here, beloved. And he says, I'm going to cover you with my feathers. And you can apply this anywhere. You can look at a hen. Remember that Jesus said over Jerusalem, he said, often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. I would. You wouldn't. That's what he said. And there's the picture of a hen, a mother hen, gathering her chicks under her wings. It's a blessed picture, and it's very wonderful. So that you can see illustrations, as this man did, of God's great protective love and care anywhere you like, as you look around. But he wasn't particularly thinking about that. His heart was engaged with some figures that had been carved in gold. He was thinking of cherubim whose wings were spread out over a mercy seat. They were golden feathers, and that was the secret place of Israel. It was called the holiest of all, and under it was the mercy seat, and on the mercy seat was the blood. And over the blood, upon the mercy seat, under the feathers of the wings of the cherubim, was the glory of God. Ah, that's what he's talking about. That's the secret place. Nobody ever got in there. So secret. What's in there? They're not what they knew. They sort of had the account, Moses' writings, and the high priest went in once a year, and he could tell them, but at any given day, and outside of that, nobody could tell what was going on in there. No one. Here's this man's heart, he said. I'm going to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And you know what a shadow of the Almighty was, don't you? That there, above the mercy seat, in the cloud, God appeared. And the cloud went up in a great pillar over the mercy seat, and there it was, the great shadow of the Almighty. And the cloud represents the Holy Spirit. I haven't got time to dwell with that now. To dwell on it now. There it is. And this is what he's talking about. This man is talking about a life that he is living in secret, in his spirit, with God, in the holiest of all, when he was about his mundane business, when he was in the wars, when sickness came, when the lions roared, when the serpent struck, that's where he was living. When the arrows were flying, when the plagues were raging, that's where he was living. Amen. Here's the secret. That's the secret place. It never came like God. I mean, God never gets the plague. Now, we can. We've got physical bodies. God hasn't got a physical body. But this man is saying that if you and I live there, and we can really live there, we're in a position, beloved, from whence we can live out in this world in such a marvelous way. It's only when you know the secret. It isn't taking sort of imputed things. It is stating possibilities. It isn't stating law that you're wrong if you get sick and you're sinful if you get ill. But it is saying there is a place. There is a possibility. There is this place that we can live in. That's what he's saying. Glory. This is it. Oh, it's so wonderful. He's living here. He says, well, let's look at verse 2. If you started off and you could say, now don't think of it a moment, now lift your eyes off it. Look up. Look up. My wife was the only one, well, because she's my wife. She doesn't take any notice of me. Look up. If you had read verse 1 and not verse 2, and you'd have said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, me, I'm abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, what would have been the thing you would have said next? Well, this is what the psalmist said. I will say of the Lord. That's right. What will you say of the Lord? Come on then. I will say of the Lord, you can look down now, dear. Verse 2. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, that's what God was to say. A refuge, a fortress, Almighty, the Most High. Now what do you want? What else do you want? What else can you need in a world that's full of need? What else can you need in a world that's full of all these things that the psalmist speaks about? And more than that, implications and things that he cannot say anyway in a psalm of this brevity. The whole glorious thing is, I'm going to say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. See, now this is their whole approach. If you're going to approach all the rest of the things in the psalm, it's from this angle. And unless you can approach it from this angle, please always use the proper entrance. For he that doesn't use the door into any place is generally a thief and a robber, according to Jesus in the little parable in John chapter 10. The thief and the robber climbs up some other way. The shepherd always goes through the door. Now, if you go through the doorway from the beginning of the psalm to the rest of the things in the psalm, you've got coming in the proper entrance, but most people are trying to get in some other way. And the whole thing is this. What are you going to say of the Lord? He's my refuge. What from? Anything. Everything. That's right. But sort of don't make it too general. Because when you make general statements, these are your refuge and not God. The whole glorious thing is that he's thinking of this in connection with things that ravage and rage amongst the sons of men normally. the plague, sickness, enemies, lions, serpents, arrows that fly, enemies. Here they are. They're all in this psalm. He's my God. And my God is almighty. That means that there's nothing out with his power. Now then, how can I live in relationship to him? This is the whole thing. So that these things that are spoken of in this psalm are they're nullified. The evil effects of this and that and the other. How can I do it? Well, you must dwell in the secret place. You must do that. Now, in the secret place, I've already mentioned it, God said he would appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. He said that he would speak with Moses from above the mercy seat. The appearance above the mercy seat. The voice from above the mercy seat. This is the thing for you to see. In other words, beloved, it's living in this glorious communion. This place of knowledge of God. And because you know God, you come gradually to know everything and everybody else as well. Now, I don't mean that this makes you like some learned professor. It does mean that as you go on with the Lord, more and more and more, as you learn his goodness, you know, here's the plague raging. It doesn't come near you. Bye. That's better than having a head full of knowledge like the Bodleian Library. Isn't it? Wouldn't you think that? Wouldn't it? You know, here, the plague shall not come nigh thy dwelling either. See, when a man talks like this, is he just handing out a sermon? He's talking what he's proved. Won't come near you either if you do this. David, tell me a secret. How is it that these things happen in your life? Ah, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That's my secret. How is it you can go through like this? Ah, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That's the secret. Where do you get this amazing vitality and strength, David? How old are you? 90? I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. How is it when other people keep going down with sickness, you don't? I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. There's somebody at the door, please. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Do you see? So are you suggesting other people don't? I'm not suggesting anything. I'm only telling you, you've asked me and I told you. I don't know any other answer to it. But aren't you going to write a book and explain this? Oh, no, I've written a psalm, I've just told you. Aren't you going to have a tape made and duplicated and sent round the world about it? No. I've written this psalm, and here it is. Hallelujah. Isn't this amazing thing? In Psalm 90, it's based on old covenant concepts. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. So on, so on, so on. And it goes on. In the limitation of it. When you get to Psalm 91, he's come up. He's living in spiritual reality now, not in a certain limited or unlimited application. He's living in spiritual reality. Here is the secret of it all. To live there. Surely, look at verse 3. He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Well, of course, you see, fowlers try to catch fowls. So don't think of fowls with chickens under their wings. Think of the cherubim. Mm. He can't be snared. The one that lives there. When he spreads his wings over thee, beloved, nobody can snare God. Before they can take me, they've got to take God. Hallelujah. Before they can frighten me, they've got to frighten God. That's what he's saying. Isn't that tremendous? Before they can move me, they've got to move God. I shall not be moved. Amen. We've received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Hebrews chapter 12, you know it. Glory be to God. Therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. All these tremendous truths are there, beloved. The immovable man. Because he's dwelling under the shadow of the immovable God. Isn't that amazing? Are you living there? Am I living there? Let's get right down. These are secrets for life. Unfolded by a man that knows. He'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. That isn't to say there won't be snares set for your feet, but he'll deliver you from it. And from the noisome pestilence, these noisome pestilences, you know, when you want to be quiet, some pestilential fellow comes all noisy. Amen. He's all noisy, brash, coarse. You've been dwelling in the secret place with God, and here comes some noisy. Presumably speaking in tongues, perhaps. I don't know about that. Where they come from, I'm not too sure. But here it is. Tongues could be coarsened by the vessel that they reside in. You understand that, don't you? You understand that. They could be sweetened by sanctification. Coarsened by vulgarity and flesh, misuse, overuse, abuse ruins any gift of the Spirit. Not in itself, but in its manifestation. The gift itself cannot be ruined. The whole tremendous thing, beloved, is this: he'll cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. How about that? Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that worketh at noonday. Don't care whether it's deep midnight or high noon, it's all the same. Darkness and light, both are light to thee, says this great psalmist. Isn't it a marvellous thing, then, beloved? Equilibrium. Night when things are low, day when things are high. How can you be kept steady dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? This is the stabilizing factor, beloved. Nothing comes amiss to the man that dwells there. Lots of things are wrong, but they don't come amiss. Lots of things are wrong in the world. Lots of situations are evil. To abide here. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. Say, come on, we're with you. We're coming with you into this, and they fall. what's happened. The people that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, beloved, are calculated in percentages that only these mathematical geniuses here, I won't say genii, geniuses here could work out. 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 10,000. Work it out. What's the percentage? How would you state it? Not 1%, you see, that really get through. I'm taking the millions now. I'm not taking just among us this morning. We all ought to be those that dwell there. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. They say, yeah, we're Christians, we're this, we're that, we're the other. They may be. But when it comes to these things, beloved, they're down. They're down. And you just can't understand it. And they can't understand it. But here it is, in the secret place. Hallelujah. When you dwell in the secret place, you're dwelling in the place where the blood has done its work, sprinkled on the mercy seat, where the sacrifice of Calvary has come to its ultimate in you, where the glory of God is dwelling in the glory. Glory is the most devastating thing. Why? When the children of Israel of old started to grumble, millions of them, and they were going to kill Moses. Moses and, you know, remember Moses and Aaron fell down on their faces, especially Moses before God. He said, "Oh Lord, Lord," and the glory of God appeared, and that finished it. Everybody done. They fell. Finished. When you're dwelling with the glory is the most devastating thing. It's the greatest protection you have. It's the glory that kills people. People can't go with you. 1,000 can't stick it. If you live in the glory, if you're 1,001th or first, 1,000 can't take it. That's right. That's why people can't stand meetings where the glory of God really comes. They want to run out. Can't stand it. Don't understand. They want their little nice little services. That's right. I'm not being critical. This is the truth. Absolute truth. To live in the glory. That doesn't mean to say you've got to live in the noise. It's all quiet in the holiest of all. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a noise there. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even the rustle of a skirt. And I suppose that the thickness of the veil or the thinness might even have muffled the sound of the golden bell and the pomegranate on the robe of Aaron as he moved about amongst the ministrants there in the holy place. But all you might have heard would have been just that. Just the tinkle of a shell of gold beating on a gong. That's all. Muffled. It's all glorious out there. It's all glorious in here. Everything's quiet. Hallelujah. When you live there, you see, oh, beloved, is your heart fixed on these things? What do you contemplate? What do you take into account and consideration? Who is it? What are these things? Where is your spirit secretly dwelling? Can you bear to be shut alone and quiet? Can you do that? Must you have company? Or are you one of these people, the other extreme, a complete depressant that can't stand anybody? But the holy place was not a place of depression. It was the place of glory, light, wonder. No large activity in the secret place. No sleeping pills in the secret place. Mogadon's not known there. That's right. I'm telling you the truth as surely as you sit here in this room this morning. There's a place for the cure of all ills of the soul. There is a place for the healing of everything of the mind, the healing in the secret place. There is a place, beloved, where you live in the secret with God, and your soul is aglow with the glory, and thoughts spring anew from the glory. Revelation pours into your soul like the unending stream that flows down the golden street of New Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah. You will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Praise God. Nothing will come riding, even though it's by your own right hand. Nothing. The right hand person of your life can go down, but it won't touch you. That's your husband. That's your wife, perhaps. But it won't come nigh you. That's your nearest and your dearest. Not that we should stand aloof from each other. That's not what I'm saying. But in the things of the Spirit, it doesn't man say, because a man and a woman are one in flesh, that they're in the same place in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not that anybody should take an isolationist position. God has ruined that now. He's rent the veil. The holy place is not an isolated place. Anybody can come. But it's whether they will. See, that's it. It's whether redemption has reached them under the uttermost yearnings of their beings. It's whether redemption has reached them utter to the place where they cut themselves off from every other spiritual thing but Jesus and the glory of God. And all that's involved and implied in it. Not my work. Not my kingship, O David. King. Not that. Not the responsibility of being the ruler over God's millions. Nothing of that. Not for the responsibility of being the legislator. Not for the responsibility of I must write my book. I'm an inspired writer. Not the responsibility of putting out sweet psalms. Nothing. 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 But this man lived in wars. That's right. That's what he said. He says, only with thine eyes, verse 8, shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. That's all. So you'll just see it. Not, you won't see it with your heart. You won't say, ah, sir, something right. Look. I suppose, I don't know whether it's right, whether I ought to say this, but I suppose there's not a more bloodthirsty nation on the earth than the Jews. I would think this. No, I'm not anti-Jew. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to face facts. I would think that. I should think that roused, they're about the hardest-headed people of all. They seem to be in business anyway. But, and I'm not running them down, I'm facing a fact. And David was born of Bethlehem, Judah, as you know. But God had reached this man. He said, I'll see it with my eyes, but my heart shall not delight in it. I want people to come and dwell in the secret place. That's what I want. Do you? Really? Is that your desire? Well, live there then. Live there. Don't lead them in. Call them in. God speaks from off the mercy seat. Call them in. Allure them in. Shine in the glory. Live there in the secret. It's the attraction in the end that does it. It's not so much the forceful preaching, it's not so much the operation of a gift, as wonderful as it is. It's the attraction. It was when my Jesus went back to glory and shed forth the glorious spirit that I was drawn. Hallelujah. Was it you? You speak out the truth. I'm speaking out the truth of my heart. It's the attraction. Amen. In the end, it's that. Oh, now look at verse 9. He said, now because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Hallelujah. I want to say something to you. Are you listening? Are you listening? There shall no evil befall thee. Are you prepared to receive that? Come on. We're not here for an exercise in Bible reading. Now I've got to know that thou hast made the Most High my refuge, because that thou hast done this. I've got to know that first. Now, honestly, in the end, I shall know that. Do you think I know who's living in the secret place and who isn't? There are so few there, you know. Thou hast done it. Now listen. There shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. How about that? What we've all got to do, beloved, is learn the secret so that we can claim it for all of our houses. This is what God intended for Israel, to learn the secret so that they could all claim it for their own homes and families. Yeah, that's right, sister. That's true. Well, I'm a Christian, I'm saved. Why does this happen to me? And somebody says, well, now, sister, brother, we just can't understand the secrets and the mysteries. Neither can we. But let them also tell you that there is a place, a secret place of the Most High, where it is possible. That isn't to say it's wrong or sinful or anything like that, if it isn't so. But there's a secret yet still to be learned. Will you accept that? Well, I mean, if not, you'll have to write a Bible of your own, because this is what it says. And we can't have everybody writing their own Bible. As a matter of fact, I don't accept lots of the so-called revisions and paraphrases of it. But you might, but I don't. That the whole thing, beloved, is this. Now don't struggle, don't anybody take a stick and beat themselves if they're not there. This isn't written for this. But there are times when we have to consider it. If not, how are we going to know? Say, don't you ever get anything wrong with you? Oh yes, I get indigestion. When I sit hunched up over a desk all day often. And my wife says, now you ought to go out for a walk, dear. Do you good. And I think, yeah, but I can't write walking along the shore. But the whole tremendous thing is that we've got to do this. We've got to see what God's after, beloved. He'll give his angels charge over thee. Who's going to keep the sickness out? The angels. You say, what? Well, that's what your Bible says. What's the use of singing about it? He said, no plague come nigh thy dwelling, for or because, this is the reason, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Because I live this way in the secret place, all my ways will be taken care of. All my ways among men, where plagues abound, where arrows fly, where lions roar, where serpents strike. Hallelujah. This is the promise of God. Oh, yet the heart may be open to see this tremendous thing, beloved. Not in a spirit of condemnation, but in the opening glory of God. I catch Jackie's eye. You can go and live amongst the Wara, love. You'll be all right. Live in the secret place. They won't come nigh thee. I'll make you a promise in Jesus' name. On the word of God. Hallelujah. It shall not come by thee. You must come on Thursday night and hear some of the stories that she has to tell. It shall not come nigh thee. Don't bother about other things you might think about doing. Come on Thursday night. Hear what God can do. She won't thank me for saying this, and I should get ticked off. I get ticked off by all the women in our house occasionally. Of course, I tick those off as well. Very nice. Oh, it isn't all ticking off. You ought to come and sit. But the whole glorious thing is that we're in this tremendous thing. He's going to give his angels charge over us, beloved. Bless him. The angels have got a charge. And not unlike us, they have summary justice meted out to them if they disobey. Read your Bible. Our sins can be forgiven. I don't understand all the mystery of it, but I understand this, that they're living in a realm of perfection, so there's no excuse. We're still living in a sin-cursed and soiled earth. And God has made all the allowances without making any excuses. There are no excuses for us, but there are allowances, provisions. That's why the blood was on the mercy seat. This is where we dwell. But the angels have charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They're going to bear us up in their hands. Have you ever been handled by angels? What a heritage is ours, beloved. We have invisible spirit guards. Amen. How about that? We have invisible spirit. God calls them angels. I know that the world makes mockery about them. Doesn't matter what the world says. Let them hasten down to their doom if they wish. We hope they don't. We wish they'd listen. But here's the glory of God. Angels with charges to keep us in all our ways, bearing us up in their hands. Have you ever felt buoyant, beloved, when the depressions are coming on? Have you ever felt buoyant, lifted up, when everybody else is going down? Have you ever felt and known that? It's your heritage. Glory. Away with the gloom, we live in the glory, in the secret place. That's what God's telling us. This is the revelation of his love. This is the marvel of it. Oh, to open yourself up and let it pour in. Let God saturate you with his truth. It has to be spoken out under various names, heads, figures as well in this great Bible of ours. But the implication of all the truth is that you and I have a life to live as Jesus lived on the earth, and they couldn't kill him until he was ready to lay his life down. You understand? It didn't matter whether they took up stones to stone him. It didn't matter whether the arrows flew at noonday. It didn't matter what happened. Hallelujah. Hey, the devil trying to get him on this very verse. You remember in the temptation. You're not there. He was this. I told you the insinuation of it. It's the one speaking from a superior position. He took the superior position. He said, you fall down and worship me. I'll give you everything. That's the devil. Hallelujah. This is the rottenness of him. This is the blasphemy of him. This is why he's going to hell in the lake of fire. For that, the cheek even of that, to make out that he was better and higher than Jesus. And that was always his trouble, and that's why he fell in the beginning. That's why he was cast out in the beginning. For that very thing. And he was implacable. It was unchangeable in his nature. And there he came to Jesus. But blessed be his name, beloved. It's all been changed so far as we're concerned. It's all been done, hasn't it? And you want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High? Well, I want to tell you that you can go into an exceeding high mountain, and you can dwell on a pinnacle of the temple, or you can grovel about amongst the stones in the desert. And I tell you, beloved, that it shall not come nigh thee. We are not living out there. We're living in here. That's right. And this is the greatness of it all, and the thing we're to see, beloved, as God moves us on. He said, thou bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Glory be to the name of the Lord. All about that, he wouldn't touch a stone with his hand when the devil said, turn it into bread. And dash his foot against it. If he'd have touched a stone with his hand, he would have dashed his foot against it. Seems paradoxical, but it's true. He lived in this tremendous position, that he was in the secret place, and he was in the howling desert with the noisome pestilence all around him. Let's go on, shall we? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Oh. Do you reckon that's victory? This then is the victorious life. Amen. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. This is a soliloquy of God. This is God talking to himself. This is his thoughts. This is his revelation. It's good to hear what God says to himself, because he set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. What's the great name he's known here? The two things that Abraham knew. For Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God, and God revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai, God Almighty. He's back in the original covenant. He's known his name. Hallelujah. The Most High God. Glory. Almighty. If you don't know all the glorious details and wonderful secrets of all of redemption, if you don't know all the marvels yet of the secret names of God, know these. They're sufficient for you in this context. Amen. And God will reveal the rest. He'll call upon me, and I will answer him. That's what he did to Abraham. Abraham built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Well, spend your life having a good look at God's salvation. And when God says he'll show it to you, he means reveal it to you in your life, in the everyday. This is it. Show me thy salvation today, Lord. Show me thy salvation this moment, Lord. And he'll do that. Now, amen. You've got to come into this secret place. Are you living there? Have you been living there? Have you been trying to live in your own secrets? Somebody else's secrets? Have you? The devil's secrets. I'm constantly talking with people who talk to dig into the devil's secrets. Black magic, white magic, spirits, Ouija boards, planchette, all the rottenness of it. Book of the Vespers of the Dead, Egyptian mysteries, Tibetan mysteries. Their way, they go, sitting under some guru, all a lot of it. Probing into the devil's mysteries. All wanting to know things, beloved. Astrology, I don't know what. Anything, beloved. Hallelujah. Here's the secret place of the Most High. Come to the place where the secret is and will be revealed to you. Come there. Live there. Leave everything else. You'll tread upon the young lion and the adder. Trample them under your foot. That's what God says. You've known his name. That's sufficient. You're living there. When you light this morning, to come right in and almost feel the wings of God closing all over you. I don't mean trying to get yourself into an emotional state where you can convince yourself of anything. I mean that in reality, with absolute deliberation, stopping everything else, cutting it off, like the man of Calvary, cut everything else off. Apart from that, you'll know nothing. Once we get to this place, well, Lord, that's right. That's where I'm coming. I'm going to live, Lord. Take everything else. Go on, shoot it all out, Lord. I don't care. All I want is to live there. And man, you'll live. Too many have lived in the world of fantasy and unreality because they can't even come to terms with life. And here is Jesus bringing you absolute reality. Let's live there, beloved, shall we? Praise God.